Today on Real Radio.
We're not sinless. We're still sinners. But positionally, God has declared us righteous in Jesus Christ.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series called Why Should I? A collection of Bible lessons that explore what the Bible has to say about the lifestyle choices of the believer. Now, we are getting close to the end of this series, having many of these Why Should I questions answered from the perspective of God's Word. And over the next few editions of Real Radio, Pastor Jack addresses the question, Why should I be a witness? It's a good question, isn't it? Here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Number one thing regarding us being a witness is that I'm a witness to my past. I'm a witness to my past. And you might say, well, what does that mean? A witness to my past? My past, you say, I don't want to deal with that. I don't want to know about that. Wait a minute. That's the great thing. Who were we before we came to Jesus? Now that we're somebody new, remember, we are new creations in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17, we've been in our redemption, newly or freshly created by God. We're a whole new people. And that being the case, this is an exciting thing. What has happened to my past? As a Christian, what does the Bible tell me to do? Tell us to do? To forget those things that are behind, right? And press forward to the Lord, onward. The Bible tells us that God has removed our past from us, that none of the former things will ever be remembered. Remember that. That's comforting. When we talk about our past, as Christians, we are immediately confronted with an issue. And the issue is this: will I, as a believer, agree with God in His Bible, or will I offer up my own view or interpretation regarding my past? What do I mean by that? Our past, it can keep us down, it can keep us bound, it can destroy us. If we keep focusing on it, it will consume us and steal our joy, steal our freedom, and it will take away any ability that we might have to want to tell people about Jesus, because we live under the cloud of the past. When I talk about now that we're new creations and we have a witness, and it's a witness to our past, we're not victims of our past anymore. The moment we came to Christ, old things passed away. Behold, all things became new. So all of a sudden, that which the enemy meant for evil, God turns around for good. So the things that you went through, the things that I went through, what is your story? We all have stories. I was an unsuccessful abortion. I'm glad that it was an unsuccessful abortion that survived. I'm happy to be here. What's your story? Do we grow up and constantly live under that pressure? Or do we say, you know what, wait a minute. If that's what the world was trying to do to me, but now I'm a Christian, I'm going to embrace the love of God and the forgiveness of God, and I'm going to realize that, according to the Bible, He knew everyone before the world was ever created. That means He knew my story, my life. Now, when I look back at my past, I see how I can be a witness now about my past. I was once this way, now I'm this way, and we can tell our friends or our family, and this can happen to you too. Give them hope. Give them hope. Our lives have been changed. So when I talk about our past being something that we are now a witness to, Paul the Apostle stated perfectly in Romans chapter 7. He talks about all of his failures in Romans 7. It's a chapter of defeat. Then, at the end, he says, who shall separate me from this body of sin and death? Who will deliver me? Romans chapter 8, verse 1, he goes on to make that great chapter's declaration that now there is no longer no condemnation to those who are in Christ. The past is gone. Those of you who are struggling, are you a Christian? Oh, we would say, yes, I'm a Christian. Then listen, take your past, all of its nastiness, all of its evil, all of its danger, and look at it through the Lord and look at it in the Word of God and say, now God knew what was going to happen to me, And he's brought me to the great news of his gospel, and I now will take that which is a great deficit, and by the grace of God, those things are now building blocks for my strength in the Lord. He knew this. Our past. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Verse 38 to verse 40. It's right where your Bible's already open. Just look a few verses back. Then Peter said to them, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off," that's us, "and as many as the Lord God will call." And with many other words, he testified, gave witness, and exhorted them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." Perverse generation. Man, this is written 2,000 years ago. And Peter says, man, call out to God. He'll spare you from the perverse generation. Would you like to be a teenager again? If there's any teenagers in here, listen up. We don't want to be you. And we don't want to live in your world, in your generation. You want to know why? Let this be a witness to you. Satan can't stand your guts. And he wants you dead. That's why he sows in your head seeds of suicide or depression or aggression and violence. Satan hates this generation of young people. How do we know? We know for sure. Because the onslaught of evil that has been launched against them. Young boys raping girls. Young girls raping boys. Girl gangs beating up on other girls. Girl gangs beating up on other boys. Violence, evil, destruction and death. Songs about it. MTV, videos about it. Teenagers are under attack. And you're a clown if you still have your virginity. You're mocked and made fun of. And in some schools, if they find out you're a virgin, they'll rape you just because. Across America, a horrible age in which you and I live in, I hold these babies up here and dedicate them. And when I say, "Lord, keep them from an evil world," I have thoughts like that in my head. The past. I speak to a lot of young people across America. Maybe there's someone young here today, teenager, listen. Every time, they may be goofing off and blowing bubbles and throwing airplanes at each other and stuff until I hit this one point, especially among the girls. You want to start life over again? Jesus Christ is the only one who offers the power to do that, no matter what your age might be, for that matter. But a lot of young people are wounded today, and they're devastated. And if they could, they would start life all over again. And what a joy it is to tell them, young lady, or to that crowd of schoolers, you can start life all over again. And they're still kind of goofing off at that point until I say things like this. And you can hear a pin drop. You want to know why? It's in their life. And it's this. Have any of you this summer or this past school year lost your virginity? You were with that guy and you thought him special and you gave yourself to him. You can hear a pin drop in the place. And you see the girls hang their heads, or you see them with the almost the look of the, you know, the deer in the headlights, kind of gaunt look. And then I tell them, you don't need to answer, you don't need to respond, but if you could, would you turn back the hand of time and undo that moment? Don't tell me the answer is no. I've had young ladies come up after a high school assembly or wherever it's being said, and they said, that's exactly what I want to do now. I want to turn back the hand of time. I want to recapture what was lost. And I'm going to tell you, it's only through Jesus Christ that you can become a virgin again. Only through him. Young man, you can become a virgin again and start all over. Brand new life, brand new witness, a brand new lease on life, so to speak. Start life all over again. That's what we as a church, and that's what we as people want to be a witness to, the changing power of God and what he's done in our lives to give hope to a generation again. Peter says, come and receive him and be delivered from this perverse generation. Peter thought it was perverse then. How terrible it is now. How does he deliver us? To what extent? How deep is that freedom? that he gives when we start life all over again? How about this? Psalm 103, verses 12 to 13. Psalm 103, 12 to 13. God says, as far as the east is from the west, so far have I removed your sins from you. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. That is good news. How far is the east from the west? Answer, infinite. Infinite. East never meets west. West never meets east. It goes on infinitely. And God, aren't you glad God says, as far as the east is from the west? Maybe the prophet stood around and said, what did he mean by that? Till they got out a compass and walked a long way and found out west never ends. God takes me, takes you in your life, sends you that way once you come to Christ, takes our sin and symbolically, of course, sends it the other way. Actually, he does away with it completely. But he's trying to communicate the depth of how far he has gone to free us from our past. Ephesians chapter 2, you can read the whole chapter later, but Ephesians 2, chapter 2, verses 1 to 13, I'll sum it up by saying this, that God delivered us through Jesus Christ when we put our faith in him, and we were once dead to our life unto God and dead in sin, and he quickened us. The word has made us alive together with Jesus Christ, and he has positioned us in heaven. He has declared us righteous. Isn't that funny? Look at you. Look at you. You're righteous. Oh, I don't feel righteous. You're righteous, God says. Isn't that amazing? Isn't it funny? We get out of bed in the morning, our hair's whacked out, you know, we're like, oh, you know, morning breath. We're righteous. I know nobody in our house thinks so, but God thinks so. Say, well, I want to talk to you about that, Pastor. I want to disagree with you. Oh, yeah, I understand. We're not sinless. We're still sinners. But positionally, God has declared us righteous in Jesus Christ. You know what? Later today, I want to go down to Balboa and get a Balboa bar. You ever had a Balboa bar? That vanilla, and then they dip it in the hot chocolate. When they pull it out of the hot chocolate, just before they plunge it into those fresh crushed peanuts, it went in white and comes out completely coated in chocolate. You and I, before we knew Jesus Christ, we were completely lost sinners. When we came to know him, when we said, Lord, I believe you died on the cross for me. I believe that by trusting in you, you'll give me eternal life. You saved me. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Plunge. You are immersed, according to the word of God, in the blood of Christ. And you come back up, and all God sees is the blood of Jesus on your life. The only thing that's left is a stick, and he'll deal with that part when we go home to be with him. Have you been dipped in the Lord? Have you come to know Jesus that way? Or are you very religious? You're very moral. And that, you know, this message is fine, Pastor, for all those sinners. No, the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us. We all need to be dipped in his blood. Have you been dipped in his blood? That's a fun study just in and of itself. Jesus entered the Holy of Holies in heaven, not with the blood of bulls and goats, but with what? His own blood that he offered on the mercy seat in heaven once and for all those who believe in him. That's good news. He didn't do it in some synagogue. He didn't do it in some church. He didn't do it in some temple. He did it in heaven where it counts, where moth nor rust nor thief can break in and steal your salvation. That's a comfort. Man, I love that. No wonder why in Revelation 5 in heaven, the redeemed are singing, he has redeemed us from every kindred, tribe, tongue, and nation by the power of his blood. It's good news. Well, listen, not only a witness to my past, but now what Jesus has done in our lives is a witness to this current time, the present time in which you and I live in, this present moment. We are witnesses. If we like it or not, good or bad, we're witnesses. Hey, and you know what? Even if you're a lunatic, you have a witness. It's true. Even if you're a Satanist, you have a witness. You're communicating something. You're giving witness to something. And so the Lord asked of me, Jack, who are you giving witness to in your life? Are you giving witness of yourself? Are you giving witness of me? How am I living my life? 24/7, who am I? That makes me think of what God has done for us. Peter talks about that, and those of you who know Peter's life, you can really appreciate what he says. For those of you who don't, the Apostle Peter was a neat guy, I'm sure. Extremely extroverted, no doubt very passionate. We know from church history, very big. He's a big boy, fisherman. You never have to guess what's on Peter's mind. He says it, and it's written in the Bible. That's scary, isn't it? It's written down for the world to read. You know what Peter says? Peter says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy," Peter knew something about mercy, "has begotten us again into a living hope." On that night of Jesus' betrayal, I bet you Peter thought he had no hope. "Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead," that's good news, "to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you." Do you have an inheritance in heaven reserved for you? Those who are Christians know it. Do you? God is going to open the gate and you're going to be brought into his presence, and there's going to be, according to scripture, an inheritance that he's prepared reserved for you. It's based upon the last will and testament of Jesus Christ. And he will give you, according to scripture, so much that the Bible calls those who are his joint heirs with Christ. That's amazing. Peter knew something about that. And about the present age and the present time in which you and I live in, and us being witnesses, we're a witness in every time and every place where we're at as a church. I love what Jesus says about this. In John chapter 17, 11, John 17, 11, Jesus says, and he's speaking to his Father. He's on earth still, soon to leave. This is what he says. He says, "Now I am no longer in the world." It's an interesting thing to say. His disciples were there. "I'm no longer in the world." That had to be weird. What's he saying? He's standing right here. "But these are in the world." Maybe he pointed to the disciples. "And I come to you, Holy Father." Here's his prayer. "Keep through your name those whom you have given to me, that they may be one as we are." Church, listen. Do you think God the Father answers God the Son's prayers? Every one of them. "Father, I'm coming home soon. I'm leaving. I'm as good as gone. But these are still here. Keep them. Keep them through the power of your name." You think God the Father is going to do that in our lives? He's going to do it. Because faithful is he who has called us. Keep them. "Keep them through your name, those whom you have given to me." Do you hear the security of that? I love the thought of it. This is how my Jesus talks to the Father. And it's very comforting to me. It gets better, in my opinion. John chapter 10, beginning at verse 27. John 10, 27 says this, down to verse 30. Oh, by the way, when I read this, follow along in your Bible, look at it. Do you think Jesus is uncertain, not clear about what he's about to say? Oh, he's certain. This is Jesus speaking, and he says, "My sheep hear my voice." Stop right there. Have you heard his voice? It's not an audible voice, but it's a tug in your heart. Some of you might even be sensing it today. It's a tug in your heart. Can't explain it, but you know that what's being said in this room right now from the Bible is somehow bearing witness to your own soul. You're agreeing with this, though you may not understand. Something's happening. Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. They follow me. They follow me, he said. What does his sheep do? Church, follow him. He says he knows them. I like that. By the way, listen, I'm going to keep reading. Verse 28. All of this, though, is a package deal. It's a combo. And you can't switch it. You can't change it out. This is God's combo. Verse 28, I give them eternal life. Note that the word in Greek to give is to give without bartering, without plea bargaining, without effort, without earning. It's a gift as pure as a gift can be. In other words, oh, let me give you this gift. Oh, okay, let me pay you a little bit for it. Have you ever heard somebody say that to you? Oh, how much? Oh, let me give you a little bit of something for that. Then it's not a gift. What does Jesus say? These are the words of God. He says, I give them eternal life. How long is that life, people? Eternal. Who gives it? Jesus. He's given it freely. And, connecting, they shall never perish. They shall never see hell. Those who trust me will never see the grave. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. They'll never see the grave. Church, we'll never see the grave. This week in our church, a man was shot to death in a carjacking on his way home. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. When the cops told me what that vehicle looked like and all the stuff that had gone on inside there, that's all I had to hang on to. You know what? To be absent from the body is to be present in the Lord. I wanted to find out. I asked the officers, how long did it take him to die? He died quickly. They kept telling me it was quick. It was very fast. Praise the Lord. Why did I want to know that? Because I wanted him to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. That's what the Bible says. He blinked one moment, and he opened the next in heaven. At an intersection. Jesus says, they shall never perish. Jim went from here to there in an instant. He never saw the grave. Neither will you if you're trusting in Jesus. That grave holds no power. They shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my Father's hands. Or out of my hands. So you got Jesus' hand. Jesus is speaking. Are you guys with me? You're so quiet. Are you okay? Jesus is here. This is his hand, okay? And he says, nobody can snatch you out of my hand. So keep that picture in your head right there. Verse 29, my Father who has given them to me, he's greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. So, okay, now you got the Father's hand. We got Jesus' hand, and we have the Father's hand. I and my Father are one.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called Why Should I Be a Witness? In fact, it's a series within a series and part of Pastor Jack's collection of topical studies called Why Should I? We'll continue with more on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Now, this collection of topical lessons by Pastor Jack called the Why Should I series is now available on MP3 CD, and our offer for your gift of any amount to the ongoing broadcast outreach of Real Radio, we'll send you the entire series on an MP3 CD. It's very convenient. That's Pastor Jack's entire series you've been hearing here on Real Radio. The Why Should I series on MP3 CD for your gift of any amount to this broadcast outreach known as Real Radio. Now you can call, you can click or write if you'd like. Visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org, and the rest is easy, realradioactive.org. Our telephone number is 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or if you'd like, write to us and send your gift to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Ask for it by name, the Why Should I series on MP3 CD. And of course, all of our contact info can be found at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.